From Washington, this is the CQ Budget Podcast, your leading Capitol Hill source on how Congress allocates federal taxpayer dollars. And welcome back to the CQ Budget Podcast. I'm David Lerman, your budget tracker. And there's a new war being waged over earmarks, the funding for pet projects that lawmakers love to insert in spending bills. Just a little history here for context. Earmarks, you might remember, were banned in 2011 when Republicans took power of Congress because of concerns about corruption. We had a senior House defense appropriator who was famously hauled off to prison a few years before that after being convicted of accepting bribes in return for help with defense contracts that were made possible with through earmarks. But earmarks were restored in 2021 when Democrats won the majority, with some new rules they put in place that were designed to increase transparency and guard against corruption. And supporters, of course, say that earmarks can build political support for these must-pass spending bills, and they reflect the needs of local communities that only elected representatives can really address. And by most accounts, I think the restoration of earmarks appeared to work reasonably well in these last few years. Members of both parties won billions of dollars for local projects. But since Republicans won back the House in this Congress, they have begun waging some protests over this. And this time, the concern isn't over corruption, but the culture war. So we want to talk about what's happened with earmarks and what changes to them may be in store this year. And joining me for that conversation is Aidan Quigley, the appropriations reporter at CQ Roll Call. Welcome back, Aidan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Aidan, the House Appropriations Committee has a new chairman, Republican Tom Cole of Oklahoma, who took over for Kay Granger of Texas just a few weeks ago, I think it was. And it seems like he's wasting no time adjusting the rules for earmarks and trying to impose some new restrictions, right? So what's going on there?
Yeah, so Chairman Cole has taken over the committee, and they rolled out their guidance for fiscal 2025 earmarks last week. And as we had scooped, I'll toot my own horn here, a week before, you know, that guidance banned earmarks from the Transportation HUD. One account in that bill, which is the Economic Development Initiative Grant. So nonprofits will no longer be able to get earmarks through that grant program, which is kind of a huge, major change here. That was one of the biggest accounts for earmarks in the last fiscal year, $3.3 billion earmarks in that account.
And why? What's their concern about that grant program?
So let's take a couple steps back here. So first off, that is, as you mentioned in your lead-in, when House Republicans took over, former Chairwoman Kate Granger rolled out some new guidelines that completely banned earmarks from the Labor HHS Education Bill, which was the Democrats, one of the Democrats' favorite bills for earmarks, where they would put a lot of their social programs that they support, money for LGBTQ centers and similar social programs. And instead of putting those in the Labor H bill last year, they moved them to this EDI section of the T-HUD bill.
So you're saying it's the same projects that were just inserted in a new bill to get around the past restriction?
Similarly, yeah, that's essentially what's happening. But it's and you know, House Republicans, you know, are against these earmarks that support the LGBTQ community. But it's far more than that. It's, you know, shelters for victims of domestic violence, food banks, Habitat for Humanity builds, YMCAs. The YMCA released a statement last week. They were really upset about this. So it's really like a vast amount of community programs covered, you know, that are no longer eligible. Private colleges are no longer able to get earmarks under this. So it's really kind of a wide range of issues here.
So the question there, Aidan, is he taking a sledgehammer approach to pinpoint a few projects that the Republicans just don't like? It sounds like a lot of nonprofits are going to with projects that probably both sides support are probably going to lose out here.
Right? Yeah, I think that is essentially the way to look at it. I think they were trying to figure out a way to block these projects that House conservatives don't like, and that this was the way that they decided to do it. To kind of taking a step back on the T-HUD bill. So last summer, there were a handful of projects in that bill that Republicans stripped during markups, which is really an unusual situation because typically both parties, you know, they split up the money. The majority gets more than the minority party, but, you know, the party itself has kind of, you know, they get to pick which earmarks they want based on the amount of money they have and the guidelines of the majority laid out. So these were allowed earmarks, but then during the markup, House Republicans got rid of three earmarks from the T-HUD bill, which I'll quickly run through right now. One of those was $1.8 million for the William Way Community Center in Philadelphia, which would have been an expansion project there. $970,000 for the LGBT Center of Greater Reading in Pennsylvania, which was doing a transitional housing program. And then $850,000 for LGBTQ senior housing in Boston, which would have converted a school building into units of affordable housing for seniors up there. That project did end up in the final fiscal 2024 bills, thanks to Massachusetts Senator stepping in and proposing that. But the other two did not end up back in the mix for fiscal 2024.
And did they articulate really what their objections to those projects were?
Yeah, so Andy Harris, who is the agriculture cardinal, he's a House conservative member of the Freedom Caucus. He was talking about how the Greater Reading Center offers services to children as young as seven, and the Philadelphia Center had some events with the Young Communist League of Philadelphia, he said. And then he said that the senior housing in Massachusetts would discriminate against people who are not gay or lesbian or allies. So that was kind of his line of complaints about those projects. But, you know, Democrats kind of quickly jumped, you know, a housing project for seniors, you know, was what was under attack here. And transitional housing for members of the community. So, you know, they kind of pushed back really strongly against that in the committee process when Republicans went after those projects. But this change by Cole here kind of, which, you know, dramatically limits the number of nonprofits that House offices can, you know, where they can get money for those social priorities. So it's definitely a major change and something that we'll be following as we move forward.
And I assume this is not sitting well with Democrats.
Oh, yeah. Democrats are very, very upset. Appropriations Ranking Member Rosa DeLauro called this a seismic shift. And, you know, this is a really significant development here. Democrats are upset. But when you're the minority party, there's not much you can do except vote against bills in committee and on the floor. And they'll do that. But I think at the end of the day, this is going to really kind of limit their ability to fund these community projects that they're really interested in providing funding for. So it's definitely a huge shift. And, you know, I'm sure during markups this year, we'll hear a lot of complaints from Democrats about these further restrictions. And DeLauro has already said that if Democrats do take back power, all these restrictions are going to be tossed out the window.
Yeah, I mean, and so this further heightens the partisan divisions here and ups the partisan rift, widens the rift here in an election year as they try to get these appropriations bills passed, kind of an ominous beginning to this new cycle, no?
Yeah, and I think it's worth kind of exploring where we think appropriations is going to go this year because, you know, I think common knowledge is that we'll have a CR in September, a stopgap measure to punt funding into the lame duck session. But between that now and then, you know, we'll have partisan markups, and the House Republicans are going to roll out their version of the fiscal 2025 bills, and the Senate could roll out versions of their bills. I'm a little less sure if the Senate will actually end up moving forward with an appropriations process this year. We'll have to wait and see how they decide to move forward. But Cole has said clearly that, you know, they're going to move bills out of committee, and yeah, he's committed to doing that. And as we saw, he set an extremely aggressive deadline here for the earmark request, which is coming up on this Friday. So 1 week for offices to sort through their earmark requests, and that's a very tight timeline that I'm sure a few are unhappy about as they try to sort through which projects they want to put forward.
Yeah, before we get to the timing of this, so as it stands right now, for the House, they can no longer put in funding for nonprofits for this grant program in the Transportation HUD bill, and they still can't put in any earmarks in the labor HHS bill, right?
Yeah, so the labor HHS bill is banned, and then these EDI.
Which is a huge priority. You know, that bill is the favorite of Democrats. It's the biggest non-defense bill of the year. It does raise all of the social policy concerns, all the fights over abortion. So it's always a contentious bill. But now they won't be able to submit any earmarks under that bill. So now we've got a Democratic-controlled Senate, though, and they can put earmarks into their labor HHS bill, right? So how is that going to work?
So something that Tom Cole was thinking about doing was adding back labor HHS earmarks this year, which he's a former labor HHS chairman, subcommittee chairman, and he was interested. He was saying that they couldn't really trade with the Senate when it came down to final negotiations to kind of give it some earmarks if they didn't like the Senate's were putting forward. But obviously that ended up not happening, and the Senate is surely going to put a lot of earmarks that House Republicans don't like into their fiscal 2025 bills. I think that it's we saw this with the labor HHS, House labor HHS chairman, Robert Aderholt, who voted against the final package, which is extremely rare from a senior appropriator, because he was so upset about earmarks, both, you know, LGBTQ earmarks and earmarks for hospitals that also perform abortion and, you know, a handful of other social, you know, culture war issues. Yeah. Poses.
The culture war is really real here, because their objections, I think it's fair to say, are not really based on any financial concerns. The dollars involved here are tiny. They don't affect the size of the bill one way or the other. It's not the funding. It's not the financial concern of it. It's not the fiscal impact. It's purely just clashing cultural values between the parties that's opened this big rift, that earmarks have become this flashpoint now. You know, they sort of thought they solved the earmarks problem because they sort of got corruption under control. But now here they are with these cultural clashes that just weren't an issue years ago. You just didn't really hear about this. At least I didn't to this degree. And now they're fighting to the mat over these tiny projects. If there's anything related to abortion or anything that's labeled, you know, LGBTQ, I mean, the Republicans want none of it, or at least the hardcore conservatives want none of it, and they're ready to go to war over it, it seems.
Yeah, so I was in middle school before the ban, the last ban, so I can't really...
Rub it in, Aiden. Yeah, that's so nice of you to remind us how young you still are as you cover.
It's hard for me to compare to that era, as I was not following Congress as closely as I am now. But I will, you know, obviously in the current age, we do see a lot of, you know, a lot of fights on, you know, these culture war earmark topics.
So what happened, I mean, for this fiscal year, fiscal 2024, the House had no earmarks in the labor HHS bill. The Senate put in earmarks. And what was the end result? The earmarks stayed in?
Yeah, the earmarks stayed in. Yeah. I mean, you know, Aderholt made a lot of noise about it. And, you know, he said that he had asked the Speaker to try to push to get those out. But, you know, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer stayed steady. And he said, no, these are important to us, and we're not negotiating on these. And they kept them in.
So you could argue...
With one big exception, which, I mean, maybe not a big exception, but... significant, maybe I'll put it, because there's only $1.8 million, which is small potatoes on the grand scale of things. But the the William Way Community Center. There's a whole big issue with that, with the senators from Pennsylvania ended up kind of backing away from their support after it got some pushback from, right-wing Twitter accounts. And it was clear Republicans weren't going to, that project would be a major problem for Republicans. So that was an issue.
That's the project, refresh my memory. I think that's the project that was rumored to a community center that allegedly allowed a sex party or something to occur in it. Is that the one that...
An event along those lines, I think.
So that caused you could see that causing some real concern. And so they stripped the funding for that one.
Yeah. So they stripped the funding for that one after, Bob Casey kind of withdrew his support.
Okay. But the others stayed in. So you could argue that by the House banning earmarks in that bill, they kind of, and the Senate allowing them, the House kind of loses its leverage a bit over earmarks, right? Because they had nothing to bargain with.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the argument that Cole is using to bring back earmarks for labor HHS potentially next year or in the future. So I am kind of curious, like, why?
But he didn't do it. He didn't do it for this coming year, right?
He didn't do it for this coming year, but it's pretty clear that he's interested in doing so, and. You know, if Republicans sold out of the House, like, there's something we could see next year. He was talking, as I said earlier, talking about the opponents of making trades. So I think when you look at the end game process, like, if you have less earmarks in HUD on the House side, you have the same issue potentially coming up as we saw this past year with Labor H. Just the Senate putting in a lot of projects that they support along these lines, Democrats who, I'm sure a lot of House members are talking to the senators saying, hey, in my district, we want this project or that project that's now banned. Can you see if you can make this happen? You know, I'm sure there's a lot of conversations happening along those lines between members of the House and Senate at this point.
And meanwhile, you've got a lot of nonprofit groups that are now up in arms over this, right? And feel like they've been shut out of funding they rely on every year to fund what they would regard as some critical social services like housing and elderly care or food aid or whatever it is, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's definitely a significant change, and we're hearing from a lot of nonprofits who are extremely upset, and this is a significant source of funding for them, and it's now off the table due to just a handful of projects that Republicans didn't like in the last cycle. So it's definitely a major change. But, Cole's argument has been, I don't want my Republican members to have to defend these controversial projects that aren't going to be popular in the district. I don't want to cause political problems for my members. And that's, he clearly thinks that doing this will help them avoid some of those issues. So, I think he's right that there will be, at least on the House markup side but at what cost, I think, is a question that Democrats and probably even some Republicans who, want money for the Boys and Girls Club in their district are asking.
Yeah. So talk about the timing of this a little bit, Aiden, because, once again, of course, the appropriations process is getting off to a late start because the president by law is supposed to submit his budget request the first Monday in February. That didn't happen in part because Congress was late by about 6 months in getting this year's appropriations bills done. So the president's budget didn't come out till like mid-March, I think it was. So everything's starting late. Now they're trying to make up for some lost ground, and they're scrambling to hold a bunch of budget hearings now. But it sounds like there's going to be little time to scrutinize these earmarks now, and little time to even prepare the requests.
Yeah, so we're really on a tight timeline here. Friday is the deadline. So offices, I'm sure, are scrambling this week to try to narrow down the projects that, these offices receive hundreds of requests, trying to narrow down the number of projects into a more reasonable number.
The deadline's this Friday, May 3rd. Is that right?
Yes, this Friday, May 3rd. Yep. So
for requests to be submitted?
For the requests to be submitted, yep. So they're really, it's an extremely, extremely tight deadline, and offices are scrambling this week.
Does that mean less time to scrutinize these two, or do we know? you know, to scrutinize the requests and then come up with a final list of projects to submit into the bills.
No, I mean, I don't think that we're still a little bit of a ways from markups, I think. I think we're at least a few weeks away. There's a two-week period in between submission for the Appropriations Committee to review all of the submissions and make sure they're in line with the guidelines. So I think that Republicans should have time to, and Democrats too, should have time to kind of sort through the requests that they get before markups start. But the pressure on the offices to, you know, submit to come up with a final answer for their district is definitely a little bit of a tight timeline.
Okay, well, we've got a lot of angry nonprofit groups out there now wanting some earmarks that they may not get anymore. The culture war is in full force as this earmarks battle plays out. But that's all the time we have for today. We will be covering the earmarks battle and all the budget markups as they proceed. If you like what you heard here, you could subscribe to the CQ Budget newsletter, which hits your inbox every morning that Congress is in session. You can find that at CQ.com. You can find all of our budget coverage on earmarks and more at CQ.com or rollcall.com. My thanks again to Aidan Quigley for joining me. Thanks, Aidan.
Yep. Thanks, David, for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening. I'm David Lerman, your budget tracker. We'll see you next time.